Hello and welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. I am Colleen.
I am not Jay, just so people know right off the bat here.
Your voice is very much deeper.
And I'm Laffy Taffy, banana flavor.
Ooh. That's right, everybody. We have Mike Bloom subbing in for Jay this week, who is out of town. But he did watch the show. I think this is the first time he's been out of town that I've actually gotten him to actually watch the show. He took some notes for me, and you'll all figure out which notes he took, because as I was telling them, he had, in typical Jay fashion, didn't know anybody's names, so there's lots of nicknames that we're coming up with tonight, and maybe you guys can help tell me who he meant.
See, that's weird to me, because I feel like in the stuff that I've covered with Jay, which... By the way, I miss podcasting with y'all. It's been a while. It's been a hot sec since I've gone to do things with you guys. But I feel like when we used to do stuff with Jay and Jack, that like Jay was very specific on the names of all these people, even the people that I didn't remember. So I'm surprised that he sort of gives it the first day Jeff Probst treatment of like, you with the red hat.
Pretty much.
He got into alliance with plaid pants, you know, like. I think at some point you sort of drop the appearance formalities, but I guess with the tribe swap, literally shuffling up the dynamics, we could excuse him for this one time, especially since he is out of town and slightly inconvenienced.
I'm not gonna lie, I have the screen up with all their pictures and their names in front of me because I can't remember who they are.
That's super smart to do. Jay is not good with the reality TV star names.
He said young blonde, old blonde. Did he say loud blonde?
Well, one of them is phys ed teacher that Colleen wants to bang. That's how I believe he described Brendan, which I did not say that. But apparently that's
but
one
you
of
thought
them.
It.
Well.
Was it just me or does Morgan yell? Does she yell?
I don't know. I know people were saying, like, wow, Morgan's loud, but, I mean, I would be throwing a stone right through my glass condo if I ever criticized that. So, really, I have no quibble there.
Yeah, fair.
Well, I live in a loud household, so I'm used to it.
Yep.
I'm personally not loud, but my family is.
Yeah, and I'm loud, as we all know, so... another one is Brooklyn. I think he means Chris for Brooklyn. Bro, get
that's,
it?
That's smart. I like this fact that he's not necessarily writing these nicknames for anyone in particular, just for you guys. So I love that he's sort of making his own puns out of that only for the two of you.
Wouldn't it have been easier just to look up their names?
Maybe old blonde and young blonde. Dom has a name, Dom. That's because we always remember my people's names.
He's hard to forget.
Yes. Teen Angel, who is... Teen Angel found China immunity idol. So who was that?
Michael. Teen Angel? Oh, I guess he was a teenager. Yeah, I wouldn't say he's necessarily an angel, but okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think
Did Wendell remind you of Donald Glover today?
He reminded me of him last week.
Yeah, that's what the internet has been sort of. I think Wendell said somebody called him Grownish Gambino at one point. not on the show, but he's very Donald Glover-esque.
Yeah, when I was watching him during Tribal, I'm looking. I go, God, he looks just like Donald Glover.
Oh, he really does, because he has the.
The beard, the 5 o'clock shadow, or the scruffy beard thing going on.
Oh my God, that's so funny, Grownish Gambino. I'm gonna have to text Jay that. And be like, why didn't you think of that one?
Yeah, all you could think of was Brooklyn. Step your game up, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, seriously. Seriously, bro. Huh. Not even original. All right, but let's we'll get started. I can see where I typed while I had a screaming baby.
Now, Colleen, is this... I will say that... While your baby is screaming, it is a cute baby, and I'm not saying that just because I'm over at your house and I want to treat it well and talk badly about you in confessional like Kellen did with the tribe that she ended up on.
Kellen the serial killer.
Is that your Jay-esque nickname for Kellen?
Yeah. Well, we decided that we recorded on Sunday for the first week, and we all decided she's a serial killer.
Why do you think she's a serial killer?
I think she looks like Sophie Light. Like, she kind of looks like Sophie, but like not full on Sophie. Like, she has Sophie S.
Her name is Kellen. Kellen.
Oh, because we think she killed her ex-husband. And
she's in the witness protection program.
Or,
my God, you guys are creating fantastic narratives for these characters. I mean, if anything, let's look towards the Brooklyn Teen Angel side of things. I've been watching American Crime Story, and I'm looking at like Mr. Andrew Cunanan, Pretty Boy, Serial Liar, and I'm like, all right, let's look in that area for a serial killer. Okay. Kellen's just trying to find her way through life, man.
I don't know. I think we made the pun.
One body at a time.
So because we didn't do a preview show this year, we had to pick our winner's picks last week, and I went with Kellen because I couldn't think of anybody else. But I believe we made the pun that she's killing the competition. Get it? Ha, ha, ha. Kellen. No.
Well, the whole story, like she said, she started a whole new life over, and so it rolled into somehow she was a serial killer.
Yeah. I'm sure she's a very lovely person.
I don't know. I feel like you could take anyone's job on Survivor and turn it into a serial killer. Like, Jack, if you were on, we could be like, Jack's good at putting people on ice. That means that he started a life of crime for himself.
Oh, I get that.
but not anymore.
Yeah? No, you're not. That's work. True. I get it.
I don't. Right now, I'm not good at doing anything.
Jack is really good at interneting.
Yes, that's what I do.
Which is the perfect place to lure people into murder traps.
Yes.
And I got time to do it. So that's what makes it perfect.
This is going to be, if something does, God forbid, if something does happen and this podcast is used in incriminating evidence, I just want to point out Jay's Brooklyn pun once again, just to make light of this, whatever situation might transpire from this.
I do have to say, I did admire Brooklyn. It took me a little while. At first, I thought that he couldn't spell Brooklyn, and Brooklyn was one of the blondes. But then I realized that was actually Libby. And then when Brooklyn went to Ghost Island, it all came together for me. No? Okay.
It's perfect. I'm sorry. Yeah. I kind of skipped over the ghost. I saw him start to cry, so I just skipped it.
What?
I was running late. I literally just got home in time to watch Survivor.
Who needs these character building scenes? Let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, who needs a hero's edit? Whatever.
Well, did he get an idol? Did he get anything?
This just proves how you have these serial killer tendencies, Jack. You don't regard softer emotions. You need to get to the cutthroat gameplay.
No empathy. Well, I've watched
I watched all of Dexter, so
that you're a glutton for punishment then. Exactly. I should take back my statement.
Well, if rumor is true that they're coming back for a ninth season, come on, please let it go.
Yeah, please don't do that, Jack. Because he can't watch it.
I'm not bringing.
Yeah, Jack, don't bring back Dexter. Please don't, Jack.
Yeah, up to me. It would not come back. But rumor is it's coming back.
I know. All right, but enough about Kellen. We got to really move off of her.
Every time they have a confessional with her, they should play Dexter's theme behind her.
Oh, stop! You're a sociopath, Jack. You're a socio, Jack. Okay, I'm real bad. I'm tired, guys. I am so off my game.
Well, at least Alex is quiet. Oh, jinxed it.
Why? Why would you say that?
Yeah, Alex is going to be doing his Morgan impression soon enough.
Oh! Or his Chris at Ghost Island impression.
Oh, hopefully not.
Yeah.
Combination of both.
Hopefully not for me. But I've got him, like, delicately resting on my arm. That I cannot move my right forearm because I feel like if I move it and his head moves ever so slightly, he will wake up and start screaming again. So we better get a move on with this show.
Yeah, it's like you're running your own like individual immunity challenge where like you need to hold your arm in place or else you're veritably out of the podcast.
Yes.
Pauline can't do it.
Yeah, right. Colleen, sucking worse than Cochran.
That's impossible.
Ha ha ha. Okay, let's go. Okay. But I'm going to need you guys to fill in for me a little bit on some of the stuff that I missed during the screen, maybe. Malolo, James is drained. Stephanie says, you know, don't hate yourself, and he's ready to fight another day. We go to day 7 on the beach, and it's
time. As long as he's not swimming.
Oh, yeah, right.
He wasn't in the water at this during this episode. I will say this was definitely a coming out party for James between this moment in the episode and him sort of being the linchpin, the sort of force behind actually causing Morgan to go home. It was a good bounce back for James. He swam up from those depths that he was plundering last time or failed to.
Yes. he did impress me this episode, though. So we go to the beach, day 7, drop your buffs, because there is a tribe swap, which, you know, it's like, Malolo, Navidi, we hardly knew you. This did throw me off.
What's the take on this? I haven't seen the internet. I haven't seen, what's your guys' take? Too soon?
I personally think it's too soon, but that being said, I do think the way that things shook out made for some very interesting dynamics. I will say from the outset, I feel like Malolo was the weaker tribe overall, and I think that their past two episodes sort of showed that. So I don't know if they stuck together, if Malolo would have any chance of sort of evening things out. So in a perfect world, I would rather see more of what's going on in Old Naviti, but we got to see a fair amount of other people sans Chelsea this episode, so I can't quibble too much considering the final results.
Yeah.
But my first thought was, I knew it was coming because I saw previews from last week, but...
Were you surprised that, because usually in the past couple seasons with 20 players, we've gone from like, except for Millennials versus Gen X, it's been, okay, at 18, you split into 3 tribes of 6. Are you excited that instead of 3 tribes of 6, you went down to 2 tribes of 9? Do you like varying that up a little bit?
I like the 2 tribes of 9 more than the 3 tribes of 6.
I like them both, to be honest. I thought it was a little too soon just from trying to get a sense of the character's perspective, from a note-taker's perspective, a little selfish. But I do think you're right that it shook out, you know, probably best case scenario if they were going to do something like this. And it was a nice change of pace to not go, because what, they would have done the 3 tribes of 6 and then would they have sent somebody to Ghost Island, or because there'd be no
exile? It feels like no matter what's going on, they're going to send someone to Ghost Island. I think the interesting thing about this as well is, you know, I'm trying to figure out, and this is, I guess, one of the hazards of recording right after the episode. I'm trying to figure out if they had purposely planned, because Jeff had 2 baskets. I can't remember if the baskets were between men and women or if it was between tribes. And if so, if they had organized it to like, okay, each tribe's going to have 5 Naviti and 4 Malolo, which on the outset might be unfair, but because Ghost Island's in the mix, they're going to be entering the tribe with 8 votes. And as we saw this episode, that can vary things up, as opposed to if Chris was still voting and it was a straight 9-person vote, things would probably be a little more set in stone than they were when Chris was gone.
Yeah, they definitely did it per basket per tribe, I thought.
Yeah, so it would make sense that they're like, okay, we're going to make... Because I can understand that from, you know, tribe swaps aren't necessarily fair. Survivor isn't necessarily fair. But I guess to make this the fairest it can be, you say, okay, Naviti won the first 2 immunity challenges. You know, you just almost, quote-unquote, deserve to have the majority on each of the tribes. So, you know, here's 5 orange buffs and 5 purple buffs. Pick what you want to, and then same thing on the other tribe. So it's 5-4 no matter what. But again, I don't know. I'll have to rewatch it. I don't know exactly if that was planned or if it just happened to be very happenstance. Like the one challenge in Survivor Nicaragua where they divided into teams and it happened to be men versus women. And Jeff said that was like a 11 or like 9% chance of happening.
Yeah. I'll have to rewatch it too, because I think you're right.
But do we want them to dictate that or is that how just the game is played now?
I mean, they do a lot of random, you know, if they're doing it this way, it reminds me of the old days when they used to do like schoolyard pick'ems at the swap, you know, where Survivor Gabon's a good example of like, okay, you're going to pick someone from the opposite tribe. It's almost doing that, but randomly. So I could understand, like, you lose out on the dynamics of, okay, you have this weird thing where it's like 7 Naviti and 2 Malolo. But on the other hand, you're making things a bit more fair for people like the Malolo. So they're not, you know, there's a chance they might not just be stranded on their own and completely screwed.
Yeah.
What if you had something like you have a challenge where it's like one of those endurance challenges. And like the first 9 are part of a tribe. First 9 that dropped out, the second 9 are part of a tribe. That we bring some more strategy behind it. Like, okay, that person just went out. They're in my alliance. I'm going to drop out. Or that person's my alliance is still in. I have to fight longer to stay in. Mm. Give it some strategy behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but
instead
after
of
week
the
one,
luck of the draw.
How much loyalty do you really have?
Well, I'm just saying it was you know they'd already had two votes. I'd rather have some control over how I'm getting swapped than just a random swap. I realize that's part of the game, but maybe it'd be different just throwing it or you know mixing it up and say okay, you got to think before you.
I think that's an optimal thing for a player, but at the same time, if you're talking about this from a television producing perspective, that's going to take a lot of airtime. And the fact of the matter is, you know, because we still had this challenge, we still had Ghost Island, but I feel like there was a lot of stuff still going on in this episode. And if we had this sort of lengthened, endurance challenge and then subsequent dividing of the tribe instead of just spending the 5 minutes like they did picking the tribes, I don't know if that would necessarily help the rest of the episode.
What if you did this where the first nine out have to go to tribal? It's an immunity challenge also. So then that's part of the strategy. Okay, well, they're in my alliance, but do I want to take a chance on being voted out?
I mean, I'm not usually a big fan of, like, in the middle of... So what? So then they would just... Would they become a tribe permanently, or is it a thing of, like...
It'd be the swap that you're picking. It's almost like a pickup basketball game where your first five that make a basket are part of the team, the next five that don't. Our team, so it's part of the strategy. And sometimes you'd go, okay, that I don't want to be on that guy's team or that person's team. So you keep purposely messing the shot, so you wouldn't be stuck on that person's team.
But Survivor nowadays is a lot about these ideas of fate and the Survivor gods. Doesn't that feel a little like Survivor atheist to say essentially like?
Yeah, I'm just trying to throw in the mix because sometimes I don't like the random stuff. It's all, you know, like coming down to rocks or something like that. I'm just trying to mix it up and maybe make it a little more interesting from someone who I like the strategic part of the game.
No, I totally appreciate that. And I totally feel like I agree. You know, my optimal tribe swap will always be a schoolyard pick'em. I know that that's not everyone's favorite opinion, but I totally see where you're coming from. I think it's just one of those things that might not be terribly practical. And, you know, I think the show loves doing random stuff because it creates this sort of chaotic factor. And it causes a lot of gym jamblings of different, you know, combinations of people. Like putting Dominic and Chris on the same tribe, like if that happened in your situation, I don't think they would necessarily do that. And that led to some inherent conflict as well.
Right. I get it too, because it keeps the players on. You can't really have an alliance of five or six if you're swapping two times or whatever it is. So, I get it. Just sometimes I think it's manufactured and sometimes it bugs me, but. It's like having 5,000 idols, but anyway.
How do you think the old school Survivor fans, like the Jay Fishers of the world and the Marios, would feel about Jack's idea?
I mean,
given that
you
podcast
honest,
with them.
Yep, I was gonna say Mario Lanza would just say no swap would be ideal.
Fair.
But random swaps have been a thing since, you know, Survivor Marquesas. So this is not necessarily a new thing of the game. I think it's the number of swaps maybe that are a newer thing to the game. You know, you have your Survivor All-Stars and your Survivor Gabones that do that do two swaps before the merge. But, you know, I think it's that thrown into added to what Jack was talking about with, like, when you throw in other idols and advantages as well, it's just you're continually almost stirring a pot. Whereas, you know, back in the old school days of Survivor, it was, okay, you give a couple of stirs to whatever you got going on in the pot, but otherwise you just sort of let that meal rest for a little bit, and then it comes bubbling up to the surface later on.
Yeah, I have no problem with the swaps with All-Stars because you know that they've formed alliances before they even get there. So you have to keep it interesting. You have to mix that up. But with new players, I'm going to still watch. It doesn't matter.
And that's what it comes down to every time they have a network meeting about this. I'm pretty sure it ends the same way.
They go, Jack's going to watch anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because didn't last season they try to prevent what happened to Suri from happening again, you know, where somebody gets voted out of the game without actually getting a vote cast against them because there were so many different idols and advantages and plays during Game Changers. It's funny to me that they brought back a season that they have a season where their premise literally is bringing back all of the advantages and idols and you know, stuff that didn't work before. It's almost like they're trying to make Fetch happen, and I don't know where I'm going with this. You know where I'm going with this, guys? You get what I'm trying to say here?
Yes.
Well, the thing is that, you know, I think what you're probably saying is, like, last season, they tend to go in the direction of making timed advantages, yeah. right? Between, like, the day one Super Idol and the, you know, hey, Lauren, you can bank a vote, but you have to do it tonight.
Yes.
This idea of sort of putting urgency on them. But, I mean, if we're looking at what we have so far, I mean, the legacy advantage is something that's going to be continuing throughout, even though it has been changing hands more frequently already than it has in both its iterations and previous Survivor seasons. And the other two advantages, quote-unquote advantages, have just been idols that have been found at the camp. So they don't even, I feel like we get that every time in every season. It doesn't really deal with Ghost Island. So I feel like we haven't faced that yet, but I do agree with you. Who knows, though? Maybe next episode somebody goes to Ghost Island and finds, you know, Stephen Fishback's vote steal, and they say, okay, you can only use it at the next tribal council. And then that sort of regulates things back in the direction you were talking about.
Right. Well, I guess we'll see if they're going to swap tribes every other week. Could be.
there's an interesting thing that I noticed on Ghost Island. I know we're skipping around a lot here,
yeah,
but I don't know
fine.
If you guys noticed. So the thing is, Jacob goes to Ghost Island first round, gets the legacy advantage. Then we have Donathan and Chris both go to Ghost Island, don't get anything. They get the, like, sorry, see you again next time
yeah.
message.
Thanks
but
for not playing.
Interestingly enough, in both of those episodes, right, episode two, you have Dominic finding the immunity idol, and then you have Michael finding the immunity idol this episode. I talked about this a little bit on the RHAP B&B, the Survivor podcast that I do on RHAP, but I'm wondering, is it purely coincidental, or do you think they said, okay, there is an advantage or an idol this round. Either it's going to be an idol that's found at camp, or it's going to be something at Ghost Island. So they said, like, okay, Dominic found the idol, therefore we're not going to put anything at Ghost Island.
Oh, maybe. And that's kind of their way of regulating it in a way.
Yeah, because that
could be.
Yeah, because I know that was at least my initial worry when Dominic found the idol, was like, I think a lot of people were thinking, okay, so the idols are going to be on Ghost Island. And when it turns out that they're back at camp, you're sort of like, oh, okay, we're sort of approaching this critical mass, as you were alluding to before, Jack, of, like, everyone has an idol in the game now, and that's when insane things happen and for both good and bad reasons. But if this is the case, and again, this is me making a big assumption, it could be a way to say, all right, there might be a lot of factors in the game, but they're at least funneling it out to be one per round almost.
Yeah. So
I just know a complaint has been the last couple of seasons. I know Jay's been... I mean, I've kind of agreed with Jay. There's just too many idols in the game anymore. And they just seem too easy to find.
Right, because they want them to find them.
Because they want them,
I get
yeah.
that. But
I think Jay's problem was that Ben found them every freaking episode last season. Like, right when he needed it, he found it. And then he found it again. And then he found it.
Look under
really
the rock.
Find it. Yeah. So I
Go
think that was...
boat.
That was mainly Jay's issue with that. And that's a whole other discussion that we can have another time. Let's move on, because, Jack, you have a heart out with this show. And I am not going to be the reason why the Ramblecast starts late tonight. Who am I kidding? Well, you guys are going to totally start late.
Actually, I just got to note, we can't start late.
Uh-oh. Was it from Boston? Because it's from Boston. I'm just going to ignore it.
Yeah, it's Boston.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he says, I got to get up early tomorrow, so we got to start on time.
All right. Well, all right. So.
So, Jack, stop taking the show off track and just stay on target. Jeez.
So, Angela. Now, Angela was in the Army, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
she made that very clear.
She made that clear several times. So I was in my notes. See, this is the difference between me and Jay, is I'm pretty sure that was old blonde, maybe. But I'm sorry, Angela. I didn't call you that. I had written Army Angela because alliteration. That's how I was trying to remember her. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Angela's upset. Was she crying at one point about how they
yeah,
were like,
she was feeling a lot of anxiety when Jeff said drop your buffs, just because I guess she had a good situation that didn't want to be broken up. We I mean, I'll be excited to talk with Morgan tomorrow in my exit interview, just because we didn't get too much of like the general dynamics of Naviti. We got a lot of like Chris and we've got a lot of Dominic, but I wasn't sure sort of where people stood on both those sides. And it seemed like from what they were talking about this episode that Angela was very close to Chris, if not before the swap, definitely after.
Yeah, I got that impression too. And Stephanie was also freaking out because she was losing her power position. The new tribes are, so it was 5 and 4, right? 5 and 4 mm-hmm. and five right. and four. So Kellen wants to knock out old Malolo, even though she is, see, this is where my notes get a little bit chicken scratch here.
To me, she did sound like, I mean, she had the killer instinct. I mean, we have to, hate to keep using that pun, but we need to take them out one by one by one. I mean, she's right.
Yeah, even though they had the numbers, she did want to knock them all out. We head over to Malolo, day 7. Seabass thinks that he's in the perfect situation.
I mean, he definitely is. Seabass might be my favorite so far. He's a ridiculous person, so I just love watching him. And he's in a really good position now. I feel like, unlike the old Malolo, I feel like new Malolo, I feel like, physically speaking, and with Kellen there as well as the puzzle, which I'm assuming, according to Jack's logic, makes her like a Saw-like serial killer that puts her victims into very comprehensive traps.
Yes.
It seems like they're a pretty darn unstoppable tribe at this point.
Yes.
I want Seabass to have some kind of candy reference every episode.
Okay,
at this point. He's 2 for 2.
This is when Jay was taking notes from me. He said, like eating taffy, parentheses, he loves his candy.
Yeah, he basically said that like everything's hunky dory, Laffy Taffy, banana flavored. So I mean, it's 10 days in. It's clear that the dude most likely misses candy. That's probably the thing that's most on his mind. So it comes out of his mouth.
I want candy.
I was just gonna sing that. Well, maybe next episode they'll have to, you know, give up their spot in a challenge for candy or something. It's the new peanut butter,
dude. I'm all over it.
Well, yeah, well, season 35, they got that. It wasn't like the big bowl of chocolate. So, yeah, Seabass could be all over that. But I feel like the complete opposite of Laffy Taffy is whatever Bradley's been doing. Because poor Bradley didn't get anything in the first 2 episodes. And then this episode, he gets shown as like the biggest whiner, apparently, on Survivor 36.
Wait, who's Bradley?
Sucks.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't know who it was at first. I go, who's this guy?
What do you think? It was like a crew member?
I had no idea. I go, this guy's just the complainer. Who is this guy?
Yeah, so the...
Your beach. Because it was Brendan was talking to him. Isn't this a beautiful scene? It just sucks.
Yeah, pretty much. This is, again, Jay's notes. Old Naviti complaining about Malolo Camp. PE teacher that Colleen wants to bang thinks they should quit complaining. I'm not exactly sure what this all meant, but... Okay.
Yeah, Brendan thought that the whiners.
Yes, I actually did hear that part, but because I saw Jay typing, I was like,
the other part of the Jay's note, I have no idea about that, but the second part, yes, they were complaining.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so Naviti Day 7, Donathan thinks that he's a lord arriving to the much nicer Naviti camp setup. They had fire pits and other fun things there.
They had a night fire pit.
They had a kitchen. They had a living room that they talk about later on. Like, this sounds, I mean, I guess when you have a construction person on your tribe, it's going to be a furniture maker. It's going to be a pretty legit setup.
Yeah, seriously.
And they had the tools, right?
No, Malolo got the shelter building kit.
That's right.
Well, they had Brooklyn. He's a tool, right? No, I'm just kidding. So Chris starts barking orders to his other Naviti that they have to get rid of Dom because he has an idol.
I would say not necessarily barking orders to the other Naviti, specifically to Angela. It seems like he's like very adamant to her specifically of like, look, we're getting rid of Dom and that's that.
Yeah.
You don't have an opinion.
Get back in that kitchen over there, woman. old blonde.
Because we have one.
Yeah. So I'm thinking Libby and Angela play nice, but they don't like that Chris is calling the shots. Malolo, day 8. They decide to go, Navidi decides to go on an idol hunt? Because I have Stephanie.
No, the old Malolos do. Though maybe it's to get away from Bradley. They have this really funny scene where there's a sunrise in Fiji, and you have, like, Stephanie and Kellen, I think, which Kellen showing feelings, Jack. But they're like, oh, this is beautiful. And then it cuts to Bradley being like, this is freezing. You know, you guys don't have sand here. You only have dirt. Like, this, I do feel bad for this guy. Well, I know he had a certain, like, smarmy persona going into the season, but not a great portrayal of him, unfortunately.
Well, they cut out the part where Kellen, they just cut out, they edited the part. She said, the full line is, this is a beautiful place to kill somebody, is what she said.
Oh, God. So they go on an idol hunt since they're down in the numbers. PE teacher that Colleen wants to bang and Teen Angel find James's old China idol. Teen Angel.
Yeah, I would say Colleen, I know you recently watched Survivor China like a couple of years ago at
we
this
did.
Point. Were you excited to see it come back?
Kind of. I was excited that I recognized an old school reference. I was like, I remember when he found that and I remember when he got voted out.
James is one of my favorite players of all time, and to this day bugs me that he didn't play that idol. I remember sitting there, play one of them. James, play one of them.
Does this bother you?
And he didn't hear me. And then, yeah, you see the flashback. It's like, oh, come on.
Do you go back and rewatch this the same way you go back and rewatch that game where the Chargers lost to the Giants or whoever it was?
No, Patriots.
Patriots.
That's okay. No, I don't know.
Okay.
Did you guys feel dated when Michael said, like, oh, I was 8 years old when Survivor China came on? How did that hit the pangs of your heart?
Well, especially since I was 60, yeah. So
the young sextagenarian.
No, because wasn't it Bob Ross Jr. last episode who said that
he was four? Yeah.
Yeah, that really got me. I was like, oh my God, I think I was 16. That is crazy.
I think I had three kids. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay.
Mike, you were what, like 10?
No, I was, it was my fall semester of my freshman year in college. So I was 18. I'm 10 years older than Michael. So I will say, you know, I did not feel as shocked by it, but it's weird sort of making yourself realize, like, okay, this kid was just starting fourth grade and I was in college trying to convince people in vain to watch Survivor China with me.
Just shows you how long this show's been going on.
Yeah, almost 20 years, man.
It's kind of cool when you think about it. I don't know. I think that's cool.
It is cool.
Oh, look, here's the paragraph that I wrote. Stephanie thinks Navidi is a bunch of complainers. Jenna says she and Stephanie have to find an idol with Brendan and the rest of Malolo. They find one of James's old idols. Michael wants a chance to reverse the curse. China was the first season he watched. Oh, look. So I did actually take notes on that.
You forgot to mention how they had to bolt running or what are they? Because you have to, and when you're looking for an idol, you can't walk. You have to run.
Oh. Yeah, you always have to run when you find it or when you are looking for it. Yes. You always got to get a little bit of pep in your step, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You want to make good TV. Okay, so we go over to Navidi Day 8. Dom and Morgan want to make sure that Chris doesn't get to the others because he doesn't have a good connection with them. They know they should stay five strong. Libby feels close to Morgan and wants to work with her. So were Libby and Morgan, were they from two separate tribes originally?
Yes, and this is a little bit of a formation of the short-lived God Squad where, you know, they both connected. They're both Catholics, and Libby even said, like, I trust Morgan the most out of anyone from either tribe, which is definitely saying something. But considering, again, you know, at least Libby was very upfront about how much faith is a part of her life coming into the season, it makes a lot of sense that, like, a fellow Catholic would be the person that she would want to connect with the most, even right out of the gate.
Yeah.
So hashtag blindside.
We go to the immunity challenge. This challenge was really cool.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were, like, comparing that first thing, I think it was called, like, the Walking Lilies, to something out of American Ninja Warrior.
Yes, that was really cool.
It was a fun starting obstacle. It's something we don't usually see on Survivor, but, yeah, it was the typical, like, do all this stuff to climb up, and then I really liked the tiki puzzle at the end. I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That first part, the ninja part, it didn't seem like it was that hard, but people were struggling with it.
Well, it's you could either do one of two things. Either if you have enough momentum slash long enough legs, you can do what a lot of the guys were doing, which is like 1 foot, 1 foot, 1 foot, 1 foot. Right. Or you could hop with 2 feet onto one and like cling onto it and then hop over to the other one and sort of move slowly through it. And it just seems like some people, I think, were trying the former method too much when really they should be using the latter if they're
right.
And not the latter that they're going to use later on in the challenge. But like if your legs aren't long enough, those things are probably pretty tough to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Malolo ends up winning. So some of them want to send Donathan, but they can't unanimously agree. So Navidi,
I thought this was smart though.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the thing is that's the other thing that, you know, I can understand where you're coming from with, you know, the random swap elements, but all of these people are playing. Now, I don't know if all of them are playing well, and I don't know if all of them are playing badly, but they're all playing. And you see it right here where, you know, they gather around and the Naviti people are like, okay, I say we send Donathan. Does anyone dissent? And then you have, I think it was Stephanie say like, yeah, I dissent, which
right.
is a ballsy move, but it's optimal for their gameplay. So yeah. I really admire it. It makes for really exciting stuff.
Yeah. And to give Bradley credit, I thought Brad was going, oh, I hate this tribe. Can he make a decision?
He did not complain about it. He was like, no, kudos to you.
Yeah. I was like, wow, Bradley maybe isn't the whiner that he's been betrayed at.
He probably so just wasn't paying attention. He was like, wait, what? Who's drawing rocks for what?
Why is there sand everywhere?
Oh.
Yeah. So they force Navidi to draw rocks. Chris draws the white rock. So was this the most exciting rock draw we've ever had?
No.
It ends up being...
But the question I have is, with these tribes divided so much, do we think that we're going to keep seeing these rock draws throughout the rest of the post-merge, or throughout the rest of the merge, or the pre-merge, I should say?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
You can imagine that everyone's going to like take this same strategy, right? Of like, unless there's one clear-cut choice that everyone can like rally around on one tribe, you'd have to imagine at least one person would be like, hey, let's not, I don't want to pick this person. Now everyone has to draw a rock.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel like this is going to be the trend like in San Juan del Sur, where they just kept giving the rewards to somebody else.
Yeah. Or in Blum versus Water, when they kept getting given the idol clues at Redemption Island.
Oh, and putting
they
in just the fire.
And putting into the fire. Yeah, exactly. It's sort of like once the ball starts getting rolling, you realize, like, if I deviate from that common behavior, that's going to make me stick out more. So now I think it's going to be a thing that everyone wants to do, unless there's other big changes in the game that Jeff makes to kind of curtail that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, there could be, but they could just, you know, let it play out, too. At least until the merge, because I'm assuming. You think they'll keep Ghost Island up through the merge?
Yeah, I think they definitely will. I don't know if they'll do like a person misses out on tribal council for the post merge. Since they usually bring back reward challenges for the post merge, they might send a person in between the reward challenge and the immunity challenge.
Yeah.
But come on, do you really think they deck out Ghost Island and keep it around for seven episodes? No, that thing's sticking through until the finale.
Okay, what like awesome or what do we think like the big kahuna, you know, reversing the curses are going to be brought out for merge. I feel like they've got to really step it up.
I mean, it's got to be like we keep seeing Eric's immunity necklace. We keep seeing Eliza's stick. Those haven't come up yet. I feel like those are still the big
stick.
Two that, yeah, I think it's still the big two that need to show up. I don't know what they're going to be and how the curse is going to get reversed, because it's clear that like those terms aren't necessarily defined even on the show proper, but I feel like those are the big two we're going to see.
Yeah, well, definitely Eric's. I can see Eric's being saved for like...
Maybe they could have Colby and what's his name say, don't pick the person you can't beat.
What, you want like a consultation out there?
Yeah, just say, hey, to take the person you can beat, not the person you can't beat. What was his name?
Woo,
yeah. Woo and Colby, take the person that you're going to beat.
Oh my god!
That's your ultimate reversal, right?
You say that until someone does not do that. Though to be fair, both of those guys in situations had a final two where they got to directly pick a person. They considering what happens nowadays at the Final Four, they wouldn't necessarily be in complete control of that like those right. two guys did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, it should be complete control at that point.
Would the little idols at that point be little statues of Tina and Tony?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, but they wouldn't play it. They just have to remember not to yeah. make the same mistakes.
It's their little talisman.
Don't pick those two.
Yeah. Pick Dom.
Pick a Russell Hantz. There you go.
Yeah. So on Ghost Island, Chris is upset to be there. He's spooked about it and upset to miss the tribal where he would have probably, it would be a crucial vote. He gets the nope, not today, no game for you note. This has been a difficult day for him. He cries a lot by the fire. He shares it.
Now does he lose a vote next time he goes? Can he vote?
Yeah, he can. He didn't put it up in a game of chance. Donathan didn't get a game last
yeah,
time. He was able
right.
to vote this time.
Yeah.
It was only Jacob that could
because he got
guess
to play
wrong.
The game. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So Chris shares that his mom has MS, which, funny enough, I just finished the season two finale of, we're on the season two finale of West Wing. So MS is coming up everywhere in my
spoiler.
Oh, no. Is Chris's mom going to have to get, like, tried in front of Congress in next season?
Don't lie about it.
We'll find out. That's the ultimate
Wait,
post-merge.
Is Chris's dad a doctor?
No, I was gonna say no. I think actually Chris said in the preseason both of his parents used to work for NASA.
Ooh.
Really?
Well, that's
cool.
Why
that's why he's in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only reason.
Wow.
Now listen, there were
now.
A lot of Floridians on this cast. One of them just left, but you know, yeah. Can't besmirch too many of them.
Yeah. Well, you can always pick on Florida for something. Let's be fair here. Anyway, his mom is his ultimate hero. She's the ultimate survivor. She got a diagnosis at 27. 10 years ago, they said that she'd lived 2 months, and she's still alive.
So she got diagnosed. I skipped all this part. She got diagnosed at 27, and she was only given 2 months to live.
No. 10 years ago. So
oh, 10 years ago.
She was given 2 months to live. I'm pretty sure that was it, right, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. She basically was diagnosed. I think it was right before she had Chris, and then she was given this diagnosis of like you only have a few months to live, and now 10 years later she is still doing strong. And so Chris, I know going in, not only wanted to, you know, make her proud, but also he wanted to use the money to try to raise awareness for MS, sort of like what Adam Klein is currently doing with the Stand Up to Cancer of It All with his winnings.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Actually, I wish I would have watched that. I like the guy better now after hearing this.
Well, you have a DVR, so you could.
Well, I'll go back and watch it. Yeah. I was running out of time. I figured, okay, I'm just going to skip this part.
So Ghost Island's giving him a chance to let go of the negative energy and reboot, and I guess we'll see. So we think that Chris has gone pretty far with this sweet little confessional here?
I mean, we're, at this point, we're three votes in, and I guess we're only four votes away from the merge. I don't see a situation where, like, despite Dom really wanting to turn everyone on to Chris, I can imagine a scenario where, like, Chris comes back, all the other Navitis are like, shit, we're screwed, like, we need to stick together now, and so Chris and Dominic sort of, like, begrudgingly make up for now, and then when it comes to the merge, it's a different story, but I do feel like we're seeing Chris at least to the merge.
Only problem with Chris is I think he rubs people the wrong way, as you can see tonight that he dictates instead of listen.
Right, I don't want to make it you know come down to a strength thing, but I feel like he is so strong considering again how outgunned Naviti is. I feel like from a pure challenge perspective that it would be pretty killer to get rid of him. You'd be shooting yourself in your other foot.
Yeah, keep him till the merge, and then once he loses, you knock him out.
Yeah. Agreed. We go back to Naviti Day 9. Wendell and Army Angela are talking about sticking to the plan that the plan to get Dom out, but they're worried about if they do that, then it will be 4-4. They don't want to draw rocks. Wendell wants to... vote Angela to cut down Chris's power since they're close. James wants to vote Morgan, but Libby doesn't want to, and they're concerned about Dominic playing an idol. The easy vote would be to get out Angela.
Yeah, so this is a little complicated, so I guess we can sort of like talk through.
Let's do it.
For those that had crying children. So essentially what happened was...
Look, I typed all of that with one hand, all right?
Yeah, exactly. So Naviti, like Angela says, you know what? I know Chris gave me these marching orders to vote out Dominic. I don't want to do that. Let's say for Naviti Strong, I don't care if we draw rocks. We already did it once before this episode. We'll tie it up. We'll vote for Libby. Meanwhile, you have like Wendell and Morgan saying, you know what? I don't really like, or Chris and Angela are gaining too much power. We can't get rid of Chris. Let's get rid of his quote unquote right-hand man in Angela. And so they sort of, it seems like the Dominic Wendell Morgan trio has sort of brought in the Malolos. Like Dominic shows the Malolos not only his fake idol, but tells them it's a fake idol. And then the Malolos are saying like, hey, they're turning against each other. This is a prime opportunity to sort of have the plurality of votes. And they figured that while James in particular says, while Dominic might have show us the fake idol, I feel like he has a real one. So we can't vote for him. We shouldn't vote for Angela because that's where the votes are going already. It's between Morgan and Wendell. We want to keep Wendell around for challenges, so we have to get rid of Morgan. And this is where, unfortunately, Libby sort of gets dragged into the thing. You know, I think that this is a fantastic move for maybe three out of the four Malolos. I still think it was an okay move for Libby, but it just stinks that, unfortunately, she had to lose her now closest ally as a casualty of this.
Right.
What do you think of Dominic in his gameplay? You think he talks too much?
I think, yeah, he's just doing between, you know, him saying he's a truth teller, but then lying to Chris about the idol, then telling Chris that he lied about the idol, then showing a fake idol, then showing, I don't understand the choice to show them the fake idol, to say like, hey guys, I know people have been saying that I have an idol, but it's a fake idol. Like, you're still, I feel like, drudging up some suspicions there. So, I mean, I feel like Dominic is basically trying to drive a race car through the Kentucky Derby. And the fact of the matter is, it's a horse race, not a car race. So we'll see how well that pays off for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I want to like him, but I just think he talks too much. He offers too much information in this game.
Yeah. I mean, information is currency. I completely agree with you there.
Yeah. I agree. Thank you for breaking that all down for me, Mike. I appreciate it.
Of course, anything that gives me an excuse to blather on with no particular end to my sentence whatsoever is just home for me at this point.
No, I enjoyed it. Welcome home. Welcome home to the Jay and Jack Network.
Oh, I love what you've done with the place. It looks fantastic. I love the sand.
Thanks.
You'll love the sunrise and sunset. Well, maybe not.
We head into tribal. They comment about how it's solidly 4-4. So how do you get somebody out of the kitchen and not go to rocks? Dom is open to it. Shocker that he's the first one to admit to it. After much discussion, it ends up being a vote of Morgan 4, Angela 3, Libby 1. And when she leaves, Morgan says, "Don't trust the cute blonde," which I assume she means Libby. And then she ends up leaving the legacy idol to Dominic because she likes him.
Well, so he's always been up front with her.
Yeah.
Yeah. With her. that's the specific, which again is something I definitely want to hone in on her is she had a good relationship with Dominic, but yeah, even the dynamic between her and Libby was like a really nice arc this episode where they were really close. Even at tribal council, Morgan was sort of like laughing at this idea of like, Libby's so cute, she's so harmless, like she's gonna lie eventually, but it's so crazy to imagine her lying. And then she's not, you know, the face behind this blind side. That definitely goes to James, but unfortunately to Morgan, she's sort of the face because it's like an et tu, Brute.
Yeah,
you know, she was the one, she was part of it, which is enough for Morgan.
Yes. And did she end up voting for Morgan when they read the showed them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the plan went through. So Angela voted for Libby, like she thought the plan was.
Yep.
The other three Navitis, Dominic, Morgan, and Wendell, all voted for Angela, like they thought the plan was. And then all four of the other Malolos, Donathan, James, Laurel, which hi Laurel, hanging out this episode, and Libby all voted for Morgan.
Okay. Very good. So that's how that broke down. So what do you guys,
And after every vote, they had to censor Morgan, though.
Yeah, she was swearing up a storm.
I mean, she definitely
says she said she's a blabbermouth. So I guess those any words are liable to come out of her mouth, be it curse word or not.
Hey, she's a girl after my own heart. I can't hate there.
I felt bad for her. I thought she'll be a good player. But nope, kick to the curb.
Yeah, I thought she was a fun character, and I thought she was, you know, primed to at least make it pretty far, considering she had the storyline with the legacy advantage. She had a couple of quirky moments, like when she tried to avoid getting picked for the first challenge, but I think it's just a matter of circumstances. But, I mean, if you would walk into this episode saying that, like, okay, the Navitis have a 5-4 advantage on the tribe, and they end up screwing up a vote split to get one of their own voted out, I would not believe you. But, again, it just shows how these people are all willing to do things. Again, these things might not necessarily be good or bad for their game, but they're willing to do things and not necessarily just be sitting ducks.
Yes.
Right.
Which we know that's Probst's favorite kind of player, so.
Mm-hmm.
Could make some for some interesting episodes coming up.
We forgot to mention Wendell during the challenge when he's trying to get the puzzle together, and Probst's like, they're falling, so. Say something? Yeah.
He said, Wendell and Laurel are falling behind. He says, don't say that, Probst. And Probst is like, just calling it like I see it, Wendell.
I kind of love when people interact with Jeff like that.
Do you think he likes it?
I think it breaks up the monotony of what he does.
I think it depends on how they say it.
I think it also depends on who it is. Here's my Jeff Probst is a chauvinist joke. He probably prefers it when the men yell at him more. Ba-dum-cha.
I know my wife yells at him all the time. Why don't you just shut up? I go, first of all, he can't hear you. This has already been recorded months ago.
Maybe she goes, I couldn't take it.
No, she's not Morgan.
No. Is she? No, I'm just kidding.
Close, but not.
But, you know, that was a really funny moment. And I don't know why I didn't note that, because I actually...
You were holding a baby.
I know, but I remembered to talk about it because I did think it was charming. I find those moments charming.
Well, Morgan went to Yale, right? Did we talk about that last? I thought he'd be better at the puzzle than he was.
Morgan, I mean, or Wendell?
You're talking about Wendell? Wendell went to UPenn.
Oh, UPenn State.
No, UPenn. UPenn's the Ivy League school. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All they had was the base, right? It was a blowout.
Well, it would seem like an awkward one. I mean, also, again, Kellen in particular has been, even through 3 episodes, has been like a puzzle master. So, again, it's that methodical brain that Jack might connect to more illicit activities than I would.
Well, you know what? You can, if you're going to hide a body, you want to think things out. You don't want to just drop it off the side of the road.
And there you have it. All right, it is time to tally the votes. Mike, you have the very important
Who did you pick last week, Mike?
What did I pick? Oh, who did Jay pick last week?
So last week, Jay picked, I picked Dominic, Jack picked Libby, and Jay picked Chelsea. So you have the important responsibility of picking correctly for Jay for next week, Mike.
I feel like we might see Naviti go back to Tribal Council, where I feel like the Malolos are going to stay in power. And I feel like, even though we got a close call with Angela going home last time, something just tells me that she'd be going home this time now.
I actually agree with that. I was going to pick Angela as well, mainly because I think they're still going to gun for cutting Chris's power out from underneath him.
Yeah, and in case they say, like, oh, if Chris found something on Ghost Island, maybe we won't vote for him. And I also feel like, not to get too much into the editing of it all, but I feel like Chris, Dominic, and arguably Wendell have more interesting or more well-plotted out stories at this point than Angela, who we got a couple mentions of the army from her. She was in a couple of scenes this episode, but she was a little bit of a Johnny come lately compared to those other 3.
Agreed. I definitely think we're going to see more from Chris. Like we were talking about, I think he's going to sadly make the merge. Watch, he gets voted out next week, But Jack, who do you, I think also if they go back to tribal, they'll probably have the classic discussion of do you want to keep the power player, somebody that can help you win the next challenge, or you know, or not. So I think that that's how Angela's going to end up going. Jack, who do you think is going home?
I was going to go Chris, but you guys talked me out of it, so I'm going to go I'm going to go Bradley.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, I forgot really about him again.
I hope scenario where Malolo goes to tribal council, but I feel like we do have an interesting situation over there as well. We're now like the Malolos have an idol. It feels like this Malolo tribe is going to, I think these first two votes like bonded them together and now they're going to stick together at least through the pre-merge. But yeah, I could see a situation where they're like, we need to get rid of Bradley. He's been complaining too much.
I would like to see him go to Ghost Island though. Oh, this place is terrible. Come on.
Yeah, there's no sand there, probably, only dirt.
It's cold.
Yeah, there we go.
I have no one to complain. I have no one to complain to.
Oh, boy. All right, let me, we've got some feedback, so let me read that real quick. The first one is from Sean, and it says, welcome back, guys, and congrats, Jay and Colleen. Thank you.
Aww.
Wait. My grandson, nothing?
Nope.
Whatever, Sean.
Love the swap. Love how it worked out. But my purple-loving marine biologist-to-be daughter Morgan is so bummed that she got voted off. Since the first episode, she said she is an older me. So is daughter Morgan related to that Morgan? Though she just said, I have to be honest, I'm a little mad at her right now, leaving the legacy to Dom. Anyway, loving the season so far, and loving Ghost Island, Sean.
That's nice. I like the, you know, I do feel like sometimes on Survivor, like the job titles are not necessarily incorporated a lot into what's going on. I feel like that was very cognizant of like the middle years and the earlier years. So I'm happy that, you know, someone's daughter was able to look at someone like Morgan who has this very unique job and say like, oh, that really, you know, that yeah. I'm rooting for this person. I feel like that's really cool. Then like, hey, here's this, you know, Mactor from Venice Beach that's on the show. I really want to grow up to be them.
Well, we can thank Debbie for bringing job titles back.
That's very true. Her and Philip really brought it back.
Yeah, seriously. the next email is from Victoria. Yeah, I was happy to see your podcast pop back up on my listening list. You guys keep me laughing and say exactly what I yell at my TV. I must admit I was disappointed that Libby blindsided Morgan and feel that they could have went far together. I hope Libby doesn't play the goat role this season. Ooh, that's interesting. While I did like this episode, especially when Chris was picked, even though it was lame that they didn't just choose someone, I wasn't floored with the mix-up so early in the game. I had to remind myself who half of these people were and why they kept picking Laurel to do the puzzles. The legacy idol is whack, and I'm starting to believe serves no purpose other than to send people home who possess it. My thoughts for the episode... Chris is a jerk. I mean, how many times does Survivor have to cast this role? Dom is New York blue collar Russell Hance. I mean, how many times does Survivor have to cast this role? Seabass is Ozzy. I mean, how many times does Survivor have to cast this role? Wendell is a chocolate kiss lollipop crush. Please, Survivor, keep casting this Donald Glover sweet honey sugar lookalike.
But he's not the one that loves candy. That's Seabass.
Seabass, yeah.
Okay guys, hoping that you're getting some sleep and can't wait to hear the podcast. Talk to you later. You're gonna be real disappointed this episode, Victoria. But yes,
I've been sleeping fine. It's been great.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Jay's not home, so Jay's gonna be sleeping great tonight.
Unless he feels like, I don't know, phantom guilt or something, and he's got kept up all night.
Oh, I highly doubt that.
I would just keep calling him every half hour and waking him up. That's
well,
what I would do.
Zach is asleep in my bed, so I've successfully managed part of that problem in which when he wakes up, he's already there. So he won't have to do anything to wake me up for it. But it's interesting that she thought it was a little bit too soon for the swap, but Sean, you know, really loved how it went. So I wonder if it's going to be pretty split, the way that the swap went down, like how it was, you know, evenly worked out, and that it was in, I guess, technically episode 3, so, or after the third vote.
That's the tough thing as well, is that, like, with a 2-hour premiere, I mean, this happened with Game Changers as well, is that, like, oh, it's week 2, but really, it's episode 3. I know that that's a small difference, but it's, you know, if this had been plotted out as singular episodes, yeah, it would have been one more week for you to ruminate over things, get used to people's faces a little bit more instead of just one big 2-hour block. So I can understand where that's coming from in terms of, like, again, we barely knew, like, half the people on Naviti before we ended up swapping. And so that's a little bit of an issue going in of, like, wait, who's that person? Why are they on that tribe?
Exactly. Which, clearly, I'm having that problem. So
I'm looking at the list of all of them right now, and there's a couple I go, I don't remember them saying anything. So we'll Chelsea and Jen, I'm, like, going, I don't remember these two people. But.
Well, Jenna was involved with the idol thing with Stephanie. I know that.
Yeah, now they're on the same tribe together, so that helps. Oh, okay. Yeah, at least they're on the same tribe together.
Now I remember her name. Okay, there, that helps. Yeah.
But anyway, does anybody else have any final thoughts before we wrap this episode up? Mike, thank you so much for stepping in for Jay.
Yes, Mike.
Of course. I'm excited to talk Survivor in any capacity, and very much so getting to come on with JJC and be the guest thrown in here. And I'm congratulations to you all, including Jack.
Oh, thank
on
you.
Your wonderful bundle of joy.
Thank you. Congratulate me for getting this kid to sleep through this entire thing when you guys heard him when we signed on to Skype.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Seriously, much more of an acclaim than Kellen figuring out that puzzle is you getting this child to sleep through an hour and a half podcast.
I'm starting to wonder if it was just a recording of him crying.
No, I figured because
when we first popped on, I was like, oh my God, I had to take my headphones off.
He
likes to be
propped up. So I have him propped up on my forearm, like I said, and the boppy. And the points where my notes are more coherent, like at Ghost Island, when I got him to stop crying this episode, was when I had him actually propped up on the boppy. So I guess he just must like to lay.
Well, we saw him for an hour today, and he didn't make a peep.
I know. He's really good. It's just that there's this one period of time from about, usually it's about 7:30 to about 9 o'clock, where he just cries. And then
your older one talks a lot.
No, my older one's never nonstop still, and even when he was a baby. So it's just so funny that the rest of the day, like even overnight, when he wakes up to cry, he doesn't even really cry. It's like this, like, there was one night when, I don't know how long he had been doing that, but Jay got up to pee and woke me up and was like, you know that the baby's hungry, right? And I was like, what? I didn't even hear him. Like, he just makes these, like, delicate, dainty little noises, even. Like, it's...
You can start by crying like a man.
Yeah, it's just these, like, witching hour that, you know, is a flexible, like, 2-hour period of time in the middle, between, like, the 7:30 and 9:30, I'll say.
You'll have a Morgan... and a Chelsea.
Yeah. Well, I guess as long as I don't have a Dom or a Bradley, right?
Yeah. Dom's gonna start. Well, actually, you know, depending on how much like Zach just randomly starts searching through the house for random things at odd hours of the night, maybe he is a Dominic in that perspective.
Or if we hear Bradley next week say, "This is not my favorite," then we know. Okay,
that's just
not my favorite.
I mean, that's essentially what the implications were when he went over to the other camp, right? That was sort of like the theme.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Not my favorite.
This dirt is not my favorite. Anyway, on that note, enough about my children. If you want to hear more about my children, you can listen to the broadcast or the Ramblecast, where both of their parents and grandparent talk about them a lot. So you can head over there. Mike, where can we hear more from you?
If you want to hear more from me for some strange reason, you can follow me on Twitter at @AMikeBloomType. I do exit interviews for Survivor for Parade Magazine, as well as stuff for Top Chef. And I covered a bunch of CBS reality shows these past couple months, including The Amazing Race and Celebrity Big Brother. I also do podcasts, a weekly Survivor podcast called the RHAP B&B, which is a lot of fun.
It's super fun, guys. Check it out.
Oh, thank you. I'm doing coverage of SNL, Top Chef, RuPaul's Drag Race, and I will, you know, we'll be back in like a month and a half at this point to do some Westworld season 2 coverage. I cannot believe it's actually happening.
Oh,
it's felt like, I know it's been like a year and a half, but it's felt like 5 years at this point between season 1 ended and season 2 began.
I just can't wait for it to come back. So when I get my every Monday my notice that we're doing Westworld at 8 o'clock,
yes,
it'll actually happen.
I was thinking about that too because Jason up
every
calendar
Monday
requests.
I go. For love of God, can we cancel this thing?
I'll be honest. I completely removed it from my calendar at one point when we got into like December, and I'm like, all right, we stop doing Westworld. I think I'm okay to remove these for now.
Oh, it's Monday.
Yeah, I get them all for all of the ones that Jay has set up, and I don't know why I don't remove myself either. Laziness.
But you probably look much busier than you actually are then.
Completely. I still get stuff from work. I need to just turn, and I'm not even going to be at work for another 2 months, so I should just turn everything off and live a much more relaxed, unstructured life.
Yeah, send yourself onto like the ghost island of internet where like you don't have anything. It allows you to really just be with yourself, and maybe it gets a little spooky there, but you can have a good cry.
Yeah, but it's funny you guys should say it feels like forever since you've done Westworld. When I, because it's what, April 22nd it comes back?
Yep.
When I saw that, I was like, didn't it just end in like December? I forgot that a whole year had gone by in between.
To be fair, you were a little busy that year.
That's true. I did just date a child for you.
I need to watch it again.
Yeah, same. That's what I'm going to, you know, ironically enough, my workload has slowed down a bit now that the Survivor season has started, just because the first 2 months of 2018 were insane for me. But now that like we actually have a date in sight, I'm going to crack back into those 10 episodes because those were so good, but those were also so comprehensive. And I want to have it top of mind when I'm sure we get into all of the insanity that's to come in season 2.
And if you guys, anybody out there listening, is going to watch Westworld before season 2 starts, or you're going to rewatch it, you can go back and listen to season 1 of Westworld with Jay, Jack, and Mike. You can search for the feed on iTunes because it's there and all the podcasts are there. So yay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get to listen in real time as to how wrong we were as the season progressed.
Yeah, it's super fun. Well, wait, spoiler alert if somebody's listening for the first time.
I mean, listen, we say a lot of things on there. Chances are at least 50% of them are going to be wrong.
Fair enough.
Okay, at least 50%.
At least. But that's okay. Jack is
We're not good at math. It could be 99%, but we're not good at math. Yeah. So.
Well, anyway, thanks again for coming on, Mike. Jack, it was good
to talk
to you an hour after I saw you in person.
Exactly. Nice to talk to you again, Mike.
Yeah, you as well. I'm excited to see what's to come in all perspectives.
Yes, a special thank you to the patrons, especially Eckhart, Tack from Tokyo, Ed the Creepy Mailman, and Molly the
Letter
Millennial.
Letter carrier.
I can say mailman.
All right.
He has given me permission to say that. But thank you, guys. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JayandJack. Or you can go to jayandjack.com and click on the Become a Patron link up at the top. For the month of March, we are running a special where you can become a patron for the $5 level or the $15 level at 78% of what it would normally cost. And that is in honor of Women's History Month. You can figure out why. But... I think that comes out to something like $390 and $1,170 or something. I don't have it written down in front of me, but you can check that out. And again, that is running for the month of March, and you'll have access to what those two levels get you. So please consider checking that out. If you are so inclined, you can shop through the Amazon affiliates link. That is jayandjack.com/Amazon, all lowercase letters. Like I said, check out the other shows on the network and type in Jay and Jack and iTunes. I think it's jayandjack.com/iTunes, and I'll bring you to the iTunes page, or you can just subscribe to the whole enchilada feed and you'll get everything. There's lots of other fun shows. Like I said, the broadcast, the Ramblecast. They're doing Walking Dead with Joel and Jeremy. They're also doing an Altered Carbon podcast. Westworld will be coming back. Amazing Race with Jack and Cindy just finished. So does that mean Dancing with the Stars is starting up soon?
I don't know. I don't know if it's coming back or not.
Okay.
I haven't heard anything about it. So.
That has my favorite artwork out of every of it.
The podcast would come back. I don't know if the show is coming back.
Gotcha.
Well, no, aren't they doing like, I don't want to derail things too much at the end here. Aren't they doing like a special like one-off athletes only thing? Or am I misremembering that?
Is that the thing that Adam Rippon was supposed to do? No?
I don't know. I'll look into it and give information on next week's Survivor podcast.
All right. Sounds good. All right, guys. Thanks so much for joining us. Come back for more fun next week. We will have Jay on and we can have him explain some of his nicknames. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Mike.
Jack.
All right, bye. Peace out.
Bye, guys.
Bye.